Good evening. This is Mark Lynch, and this is Inquiry. My guest tonight is a friend from a long time ago, James W. Berry. He is a conservationist. He's a serious birder with a longtime interest in the breeding biology of birds, and is the author of this enormous two-volume book called The Birds of Essex County, Massachusetts, A Personal Journey, An Update of Charles Wendell Townsend's Birds of Essex County, 1905. Jim, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Mark.
Could you have thought of a longer title?
No. I had to make it a little bit long because I didn't want to just call it exactly the same thing as Charles Wendell Townsend did. So that's why I added The Personal Journey and the update of Townsend's book.
Jim, because I haven't seen you in a while, I had no idea this was coming. So when I got these two volumes, I was knocked off my feet. These are two huge volumes. How many pages?
It's about 800, I think, or 900 total, counting the bibliography.
This is the project of your life. How long have you How long have you been working on this?
I started working on it when I retired, which was 1999. Thought I was going to be done with it by about 05. That was wrong. I finished draft in about 21. So it's been a long, long journey.
Let's talk about what this book is and isn't. Now, this is a book about the avian changes in Essex County. We'll talk about Essex County in just a second.
Yeah.
But it's not an identification guide or to find guide. It's actually the kind of book I absolutely love, which is a list of species, their occurrence within this area, and how that's changed over the years.
Yeah.
Just getting these records together must have been a Herculean feat. How did you manage that?
Yeah, well, that's why it took so long. I had to research the records from all of the 20th century, starting with Townsend's books, and then going through the Essex County Ornithological Club journals, which were published from 1919 to 38, I think, and then records of New England birds up to 68, and then there was another one. I forget the name of it offhand, but then Bird Observer from 1973 on. So there were all those works to just pour through and write down the numbers, the seasonal extremities, and so forth. It took many years to do that.
Jesus, it's amazing. And you also have to be in the process of continually adding new species that are seen.
Yes. Right. I had to cut it off about 2022, I think, so there might be a species or two that have been added since then, but I couldn't worry about them. I just had to cut it off,
Wow. And that's the thing about these books is they're really a picture at a point in time.
Right.
And you could do updates. You could do online updates, I imagine.
Yeah, I hadn't really thought about that yet. I mean, I've thought about it, but I haven't put any energy into thinking about it yet. That's a possibility. That would be a lot of work.
As opposed to these two volumes, which are ox stunners. Now,
right.
We should talk about Essex County for people because we're broadcast around the world. Essex County is one of the most important bird areas in New England. In Massachusetts. Talk to me about how you view Essex County.
Well, I moved here in 1972 with my wife, and we have a daughter. And I've done most of my birding in this county, and I've made it a point to stay in the county. But I also worked on both breeding bird atlases. And in the second atlas from 2007 to 2011, I was the lead person for Essex County. So I organized an army of observers to cover the county.
Let's talk about some of the most important places within Essex County. And I can probably rattle off the list myself. The Parker River National Wildlife Refuge, which includes Plum Island.
Right.
Cape Ann, which is one of my, since I was a kid, Cape Ann was one of my favorite places to visit.
Yeah, yeah.
Marblehead Neck is a great migrant trap, and so is Nahant.
Right.
It seems that the coastal locations get all the fanfare. Are there inland locations that sort of match that?
Yes. Well, they don't match it because they don't have the oceanic birds, but Willowdale State Forest, Bradley Palmer State Park, Harold Parker State Forest, there are some wildlife management areas which are state-owned and run, and they're really good for birds. So, yeah, there are a lot of good inland sites as well, and some hawk watch sites too.
Do they get? It seems like they get short shrift because the coastal locations steal all the thunder.
In a way, yeah.
You're the number one person I associate with inland locations in Essex County.
Well, yeah, the birders of this county know these inland locations, that's for sure. Outside the county, they're given less fanfare.
Now let's talk about Townsend. Who was he? Charles Wendell Townsend.
Charles Townsend was a doctor. He was a doctor in Boston who specialized in the diseases of childhood. But he also had a place in Ipswich on Argilla Road, the road to the beach, and he spent a lot of time on weekends and vacations just patrolling the dunes and the marshes and the beaches. And he accumulated a lot of data and put it into a book. And then after he retired, which was in 1917, he got back into birds big time, and he published his supplement to the Birds of Essex County in 1920.
How many pages was it?
How many pages is my book?
No, his book.
Oh, his book. His book is a little shorter than mine.
Good one.
Not necessarily in pages, but it is somewhat shorter. But he did not see birds that he wrote about. He saw about 215, as I recall, in life. Whereas today, any Essex County birder who's a serious birder would have seen almost every species, and maybe not all the vagrants, but you know, I've probably seen 95% of the species or 90% of the species I've written about. Because we have so much better information and, you know, more bird books, more how to go, where to go guides, and also the optics are better.
Oh, yeah.
Communications are better and so forth.
It's amazing. You know, I remember the old days when we used to follow the voice of Audubon to find out where birds were. And running up to Plum Island to see some new shorebird that Dick Forrester found or something. And those were the old days. Those were in like the 70s and the 80s.
I had to admire you for having the energy to drive all the way from Worcester to Cape Ann as often as you did.
Well,
I don't think I could drive to Worcester that often.
Oh, I totally get it. And it's like nowadays. And that's because Worcester was virtually unknown as far as the stuff that it could offer. And I had to learn where the stuff was in Worcester County.
Yeah.
Now, let's talk about the changes. Let's talk about first changes in habitat. I have to imagine, since Townsend's time, what are the major land and habitat changes since Townsend's time?
The major land and habitat change is the amount of land that's forest. In 1900, and in the 19th century, most of the land in this county and the state had been cleared by the white settlers for agriculture. And so in the 20th century, the agricultural period was more or less over. There are still farms in the county, but the forest has grown back big time. So that's the major habitat change since Townsend wrote.
So have the forest warblers come back? Like black-throated green, you know, blackburnian, have they returned as breeders to Essex County?
Yeah, they've returned to some extent. The black-throated greens have not. They've crashed about 2000. But the pine warblers have done the opposite. They've exploded. The oven birds have remained steady as the number one warbler in the forest because they're so loud and so easy to hear.
That's exactly like it is here in Worcester County. Whenever I go out to do I always just explore an area and see what's there. There's always a huge count of oven birds because you can hear them a mile away.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's right. I had 66 in Willowdale one time, and that was my record high, and that was a lot.
Wow. What species are no longer found in Essex County since Townsend's time?
As breeders, yeah. The golden-winged warbler petered out about 2000 or 2002, I think, was the last nest found.
And that's the same here in Worcester County. I mean, when I started birding, there were places I could go to see a golden-winged warbler in the 70s. And now, first of all, blue-winged warblers aren't doing that well here either, but they're gone. And that was all due not to habitat loss, but to hybridizing with the blue-wing.
I would say blue-winged warblers were up when the golden wings were going down, but now they're down too.
Well, it's unfortunately what's going on.
Let's see. Some other species. American bitterns have almost disappeared as breeders.
Yep.
Black ducks.
Oh God!
Don't breed much here anymore.
The thing was the most. We headed up the Worcester County aspect of the breeding bird survey too. And in Breeding Bird Survey 1, black ducks were breeding in several areas across Worcester County.
Yeah.
We had none.
Yeah, I believe it.
And is the story with that just hybridizing with mallards?
Well, that's a good question. Some of that is true. But the black ducks have just decreased a lot. But yeah, the ones that are left tend to interbreed with mallards because I've found mallard nests in the salt marsh, which he didn't use to.
Jesus.
So I think that's part of it.
I also found that nighthawks, that was the biggest more frightening thing. We used to have them. I used to see them off the back of my apartment when I was at Clark University. They would fly into the city in the evening, and they'd fly around the lights. We had no breeding nighthawks on Breeding Bird Atlas 2.
That's right. That's exactly the situation in Essex County. When I moved here, they were still breeding in a few locations, especially Salem. But now it's hard to find any breeding in the county.
Jeez, that's amazing. And now, but there are species that are new to the county because I'm sure we've got them too. Red-bellied woodpeckers.
Red-bellied woodpeckers, yep.
Oh, my God. When I started birding, I actually traveled. I had to go to the lower Connecticut River Valley to see my first red-bellied woodpecker.
Yep,
it was at somebody's
feeder.
And Carolina wren is the same way.
Carolina wrens. Turkey vultures.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, they barreled in here about 1980 and never left. And
they're rapidly being followed by black vultures.
We don't have many black vultures here yet, though.
I did a count this winter down at the line between Worcester and Rhode Island, and in one place we had something like 25.
Oh wow!
Well, they sit there. There's a transfer station there. And they eat everything there, and they warm themselves up on the chimneys in the wintertime in that town. It's amazing.
What they do here. And there have been some double-digit counts of black vultures in the county, just not seen by my eyes. But they're both species love to perch on the chimneys. stay warm in the winter.
Now, the thing with books like this is I love your accounts. First of all, these are both official accounts, and there's a lot of personal information in each bird account, which I really, really enjoy. And one of the stories that I love, because I ended up seeing these birds when they were there, is the story of the whooper swans that were up. Oh, my God. I can remember when they appeared, and nobody knew what initially nobody knew what the deal was with them. Can you talk about that? Like the whooper swans, it's a European species.
Yep, that was my special species because they were only around Ipswich. Well, they expanded a little bit north. There were some escapes or releases. I'm not sure which, but I think releases. But anyway, they three of them showed up here in 1993, I think, and they gradually bred. And Tom French, the state wildlife chief, was really concerned about them, and it was his mission to get rid of them. But it took him about 10, about a decade to get rid of them because he had to catch them and either sterilize them or pin them down so they couldn't fly. And they finally died out after there were about a dozen or more here, and then some of them even made it up into coastal New Hampshire.
Oh, my God. I can imagine he was afraid that there was going to be a population of them. It's just like the mute swans. We had no mute swans in Worcester County up until the 1990s. It was a big deal to see one. And now they're a major factor in southern Worcester County.
They started here earlier. They started nesting in the 70s, I think.
I can remember seeing them in the coastal ponds.
Yeah. They probably were here. They probably nested before that, but they only appeared in the coastal ponds maybe in the 60s and then started breeding in the 70s. And then gradually they spread west, so that you probably have them more now, right?
Oh, yeah. They're in the city of the Worcester all over the place. And some late fall counts at local ponds, you can get up to 60 and sometimes over 100.
Yep.
You're listening to WICN 90.5 FM. This is Inquiry. My name is Mark Lynch. My guest tonight is James W. Berry, serious birder and conservationist with a long-time interest in the breeding biology of birds and a long-time interest in records of the birds of Essex County. And we're talking about his new book. It's two volumes, Birds of Essex County, Massachusetts, A Personal Journey, an update of Charles Wendell Townsend's Birds of Essex County, 1905. Jim, what's the best way for people to get a hold of these books?
Okay, there are at least three websites you can go to, and I checked them all out this morning. There's my personal website, which was designed by my friend Miles Bringle. If you go to that one, the book will pop right up. Pick the one with the Amazon logo and not the obituary. I want to assure readers I'm still alive. Then there's the Essex County Greenbelt website. And then look for my book title with a personal journey on the end of it. And it should come right up. Or just go to Amazon Books and bingo. That comes up right away on my computer. On another computer, you might require you to type in the name of the book. But those three websites should all work to order the book if you want to buy it, which I highly recommend.
And you need to have both, because Volume 1 is really mostly non-passerines. It's all non-passerines.
Right.
And the second volume is got woodpeckers and
songbirds.
Songbirds.
Yeah, you have to. You almost have to buy both because the whole bibliography is at the end of Volume 2. The county checklist is at the end of Volume 2.
Mm-hmm.
And and the definitions and abbreviations are in that volume too. But volume one, you know, you don't want to skip volume one.
Well, that's the meat and potatoes of Essex County birding, are the shorebirds, the ducks, the herons, and so forth. Go ahead.
Okay, I just was going to add one thing. The publishing was a nightmare, and I don't want to get into the weeds on that, but the back cover of each volume, it says this book is produced by Amazon Kindle Direct Publishing and is published by Essex County Greenbelt Association. All proceeds from the sales of this volume go to the ECGA, the Greenbelt. So that's something I wanted to clarify for the readers, because it was published through Amazon, but it was publisher is actually Essex County Greenbelt, with whom I worked.
Now,
and I had Abby Heim, a volunteer from Greenbelt, who had a lot of publishing experience to guide me through this publishing nightmare, and I have her to thank for getting me through it with some semblance of sanity.
Just a couple of quick questions from a personal point of view. Does the Black Guillemot breed in the dry selvages in the county?
We don't have any confirmed breeding records from Essex County yet. They've bred in the Isles of Shoals, and there have been some young seen here in the summer, but we don't have proof positive yet.
And people go out and check that area, right, during the summer so that they would find them?
Say again?
People check that area all the time, so they would find
them. Yeah, they do. And so far, nobody has come up with, you know, like us seeing an adult carrying food into a rocky crevice. That's the kind of thing we need for a proof.
Now, ringneck pheasant. In Worcester County, we no longer count those birds.
You no longer count them?
No, because there have been very few breeding records now. And the status of them definitely crashed. And what happens is, the only pheasants that are in the county now are ones that are released as part from Fish and Game.
Oh, I see what you mean. Yeah, I think that's true in this county too. They were common when I moved here. You'd see families of them all over the place.
Yeah, same here.
But, the last 10, 20 years, they have been harder and harder to find, and now I don't know if they're still breeding in the county, except maybe the ones that are thrown off the truck.
Are there any controversial sightings in these two volumes? And are there sightings that are not counted by the mark, but you put in the book anyway?
Yes. There. I don't know if I can remember them all off.
I think one of them is a black-tailed gull.
Black-tailed
gull.
Oh, the black-tailed gull, yes. That's a good example. There were two of them, but I think one of them or both were finally accepted by the MARC, meaning the Massachusetts Avian Records Committee. And there are some others. I'm not going to be able to remember which species. Maybe you have an idea because you hit on one of them there.
Yeah. I don't want to go through the minutia of the book, but I want to ask you, what's your favorite time to bird in Essex County?
That would be a toss-up between the month of May with the many migrants and June and July with all the nesting birds. And I've really hit the road a lot in the nesting season, as much as I love the spring migration. But, you know, the nesting season was my special time, really.
What about the rookeries? Are the rookeries still doing good?
The like gray blue heron rookeries?
Well, no, the egret rookeries.
Oh, okay, the egret. Okay, gray blue herons nest in many colonies throughout the county.
Yeah.
But the herons, the great egrets, the snowy egrets, the black-crowned night herons, the little blue herons have and the glossy ibises have concentrated on two islands for the most part. That's Kettle Island off Manchester and House Island off Salem, which belongs to Salem. And they have nested in other places. They're starting to nest on Thatcher Island off Rockport.
Oh, wow.
Some of them. But those are the main two islands where they do breed and still do breed. and they're the Cattleyers are the exception. They came here in about 1970, and they peaked about in the 80s, and now they're almost gone.
I know. I used to travel up to Essex County just to see cattle grit in the state.
Yep.
And no longer.
Now, you might get one or two a year, but I don't think they breed anymore.
Wow. Are the population in the rookeries staying more or less the same, or are they decreased or increased?
The little blue herons have stayed about the same at a low level, a dozen or so pairs. The great egrets and the snowy egrets have changed places. The snowy egrets were up to 300 pairs.
Wow.
Maybe 20 years ago or so. Now they're declining rapidly. The great egrets have exploded.
Yeah.
They're the common egret now.
Wow.
And the glossy ibises have decreased a little bit too.
What's your best sighting, single best sighting, favorite sighting, I should say, in Essex County? We only have 1 minute left.
That would be the Townsend's Warbler that graces the cover of Volume 2. And it says on the back of Volume 2, cover image, Townsend's Warbler, present at the author's feeders from 12/24/11 through 3/27/12. This was the rarest bird in Mr. Berry's yard over the last 47 years, and attracted hundreds of birders to see and photograph it, which is why this special bird was chosen to grace the cover of Volume 2. Yeah, that's my favorite sighting.
We're out of time. My guest tonight is James W. Berry, conservationist, serious birder with a long time interest in breeding biology of bird. And we've been talking about his massive volumes that just came out. They're great reading. Birds of Essex County, Massachusetts, A Personal Journey, an update of Charles Wendell Townsend's Birds of Essex County, 1905. Two volumes, and you need both volumes. Jim, it's been a pleasure.
Thank you, Mark. It's been a pleasure for me, too.
You're listening to WISN 90.5 FM. This is Inquiry. My name's Mark Lynch. Good night.